Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way once again, and glad to be able to share with you in our broadcast time today. You've tuned me in by the way of WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM, or over in the lower Ada area 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome you. Still having difficulty with my voice, but hoping it's going to get better as we go along here. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of Ears Radio, Internet Radio, by the way of earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. And some of you are listening by the way of my website. I welcome you. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. And you go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Just bring your mouse up over that and it'll say Current Media. And you click on Current Media and the top message is the one that is for today. Well, I want to give thank you, first of all, to Kay-Ann Kingsinger for picking out my music today. She's got it all done for the month of November. I haven't been able to do a whole lot because I'm still kind of weak. So I am been doing some of the radio broadcasts for 2021. And man, that'll be honest before we know it. But anyway, I need to say thank you to those that have been so faithful in supporting the broadcast in a financial way. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she lives in Orleans. To Doug and Lorraine Lane family from the Sheridan area, thank you so much for your support. To Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, and Bill, I hope you're getting better. He just had surgery, so we trust in the Lord that he's getting better. And to Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years. I still attend a couple of services there. And at Shiloh, our weekend of worship, as we call it, it begins Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, we have a 9 o'clock service. And then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. We also have a campus over in Greenville at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and LeRae Street. And that service begins at 11 o'clock. I think that takes care of the things I need to take care of to get us started this morning. My message today is something that is very familiar, and yet I wanted to teach this message because of the idea this shepherd boy defeats this giant. And this giant was huge. And he defeats him with a little stone and a slingshot, so to speak. And I want us to learn some things today of how he defeated that giant and why he was able to defeat that giant. And at the same time, we're learning some things that I trust. I want to spend the next 2 weeks talking about two giants that I know is in my life and probably in the life of most everybody from time to time. And so we want to talk in the next 2 weeks about defeating those giants. But today we're going to be talking about David, this young shepherd boy, and how he was able to defeat, with God's help, the giant that was troubling Israel at that time. So to get us started on that, I like to have us think of a song that I've kind of always enjoyed the song. It's the idea, in times like these, man, we've been going through some difficult time. I haven't been feeling good and going through those difficult times. My wife is going through a lot of pain and difficulty because of her back. And so we realize that things are just a little different than it used to be. And as you get older, things are different anyway. So we realize with this COVID thing, we just really have our hands full. The election of officers, I trust you will vote. I'm planning on voting. I didn't want to do the early vote, so I wanted to go over to our place where we vote in Orleans. So I'll be going over there Tuesday morning, and I trust you will be going over to wherever you are going to vote if you haven't voted yet. But what a privilege we have to realize that God's saying, I'm going to be with you in times like these. So we'll listen to this song, and I'll be right back and share the message with you of what God has laid upon my heart for today.
We live in such a different world than we did yesterday. The things we took for granted have all been torn away, and now we face uncertainties. What will tomorrow be? The questions drive us to our knees again. In times like these, we need Jesus. In times like these, we need Jesus. We need to seek a Savior's face. He'll lead us through these troubled days.
Say the same thing. We need Jesus. In times like these, we need Jesus. We want him to be a part of our life. The hope and encouragement that he's able to bring to us, we stand in need of. So as we go through our message this morning, before we do, though, we want to take and have a little prayer with you, the listening audience. That's the reason why Wednesday morning, I'm over here to the lighthouse, because I wanted to share this message with you this morning. And as I was busy yesterday with the funeral, I knew I didn't have enough voice to do it, and I was hoping this morning my voice would be a little better. But we'll just work with me with it, if you would, and we'll go through the message that we have today. But first, just have this moment of prayer. Dear Father, once again, we come into your presence. And once again, dear Father, I want to come in behalf of the listening audience. Everyone that has tuned my program on today, regardless of what station they're listening to, if they're listening on the website, Father, whatever they are going through today, because in times like these, we do need Jesus. We need you, Jesus. In times like these, we got to have an anchor. And you are our anchor. So I want to pray in behalf of the listening audience. Whatever their week has been like this past week, right now, Father, we just pray that you would just lead them and direct them and let them know that you care for them and you're going to watch over them. And Father, if it's physical things, we just pray that you'll just bless. When we're not feeling good physically, it bothers us in every other area of our life. So we want to pray for those that's having physical difficulty. We want to pray for those that are going through some spiritual difficulty, maybe some financial difficulty. Maybe there's some friction in the family or friction in the neighborhood or maybe even some friction in the workplace. Dear Father, whatever it is they're experiencing today, I would pray that your special blessing would be upon them. Be with those in the nursing home. Be with those in extended care places. Be with the older sheep of the flock that used to be able to get out and go to church, but they're not able to do that now. And besides that, sometimes with the older people in this COVID thing, Father, they need to be kind of be very safe and be very careful what they're doing. So I pray your hand of blessing would be upon them. Now, Father, I also want to remember any unspoken requests. So if someone has an unspoken request right now, Father, they're going to think about what that need is. I don't need to know that need, but Father, you know it. They know it. So I'm coming to you and asking you, would you be pleased to meet the need of anybody with an unspoken request this morning, according to your divine will? And I'll thank you and praise you for that. Now, as we study about this little shepherd boy, David, I pray that we'll learn some things that will help us in the days that lie ahead to overcome some of the giants that we're confronted with in our life in 2020. So be with us the rest of the day. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, David, a little shepherd boy. We'll probably have it at the end of the program. But David wrote the 23rd Psalm, which is a psalm that's been an encouragement to hundreds of thousands of people through the years. Been a source of comfort and strength in times of difficulty. You know, I was doing a little study because I thought, you know, we don't see many shepherds in 2020. You know, that was common in Jesus' day. That was common in David's day. Shepherds were everywhere. You know, shepherds were not always looked upon as the best of the society, so to speak, because they lived in the outer doors. Everything they owned, they probably had with them. And some people kind of picked on them, but I have this little study I was doing about the shepherds. So question I have is, what was a shepherd in Bible times? When the Bible was written, when David was a young boy, what was a shepherd? And the answer would be a shepherd during the times of the Old Testament was often, but not always, a child. Whatever his age, the shepherd's job was to protect the flock, the sheep, and guide them to good pastures with plenty of food and slowly move easy, accessible water. If they fed the grass poor quality, the sheep would suffer as a result of that because of malnutrition. So they go find a nicer pasture. If the water moved too quickly, the sheep were afraid to drink from it because they were afraid of drowning and so on. So guiding the flock of sheep to a good location was extremely important, and it was the task of the shepherd. Take them to good pastures and keep the flock healthy. A shepherd typically carried a few items with him to aid him in the task of caring for the sheep. First, he had a rod. The rod was like a sturdy stick with a knot on the end of it. Sometimes the rod would even have a nail in it to make it a better weapon. The shepherd, when he was just standing around, he used to throw it. He'd throw it at a bush or throw it at something else that was there, whatever it was. And he would practice throwing it so he could get good at hitting whatever he was aiming at. He also carried a long staff. That was to help him if he wanted to rest a little bit. He could lean on the staff. It was like a walking stick to him. But also he used it to maneuver the sheep. If one was going a little bit too far out to a certain way, he'd just take and reach over and hook it back over into the flock so that it would learn it's supposed to stay together. It was for protection of the sheep the shepherd's tools were. And he often carried a slingshot. And this slingshot of that day was where he'd take some stones and put it with him, and then he could chase away animals or even kill animals that would come anywhere near the flock. During the biblical times, families in the Middle East relied upon shepherds to provide food, wool, sheepskin. Because sheep were so valuable, shepherds would stay with the flock to protect them day and night. Frequently, the youngest boy in the family served as a shepherd until he grew older. He couldn't do harder manual work, so he'd be the one that was caring for the sheep. And David was the youngest in his family, so Dad had him caring for the sheep. I'm sure as a boy, David loved his everyday life of being a shepherd, caring for and protecting the sheep. But you know what? God was using it as a training time for David, for something he would do in the future. Because one time there was a lion, another time there was a bear come and try to get the sheep, and David was able to kill the lion, and David was able to kill the sheep. This was preparing him for this giant that was troubling Israel, the giant Golgotha, and what he was doing. It was training him. I believe there's a lot of things that God does in the early days of our life that is to help train us to be a person that he wants us to be for some particular task, or maybe a lot of tasks that he wants us to do in the future. So it was a good experience. David was caring for his father's sheep. He also would sometimes go to the palace, and there he'd play his harp. He was musical. He loved playing the harp. King Saul was having some emotional problems, so King Saul would have him come and play the harp. And this giant had been troubling Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. And this carried a great fear to Saul, because he was the leader, and also carried a great fear to the nation of Israel. Dad come to David one day, and he said, "I want you to take a package to your brothers. They're over in the battle that's taken place." And it's recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Jesse told his son David, "Take a half bushel of roasted grain. Take 10 loaves of bread to your brothers. Take them to your brothers and camp right to their camp right away. And take these 10 cheeses to the captain of the regiment. See how your brothers are doing and bring me back some good news." So David was willing and ready to do that. Along with Saul and all the soldiers of Israel, when David got there, they was all out there listening to this Philistine, this great giant, as he was talking about them. The first lesson we want to learn from David is that we sometimes face giants in our life that we did not even know existed. David didn't know that. He's just taking lunch to the boys. He's just going to see them and bring a report to Dad how they're doing. But all of a sudden, there's this huge giant. You know, sometimes it's in the normal routine of our life that we're going to do something that is good to do, like take a care package. And all of a sudden, things change. So David, he got up early in the morning, and he had someone else watch over his sheep. That tells you how good worker he was. And he took the food and he went as Jesse had told him to do. The second lesson I want us to learn from David, we learn that in doing good things, difficult things can happen. God is always right on time. He arrived in the army just before the battle lines were been drawn. David left his supplies behind in the hands of the quartermaster, and he ran to the battlefield and greeted his brothers just as the giant Goliath had come out and taunted the army of Israel. He picked on him. He'd been doing this for 40 days and 40 nights, and David heard him. And he became aware of this, what his brothers and what the nation of Israel and what King Saul was going through. And I believe we could say it may have really caught him off guard. What's going on? You know, I think of one of the verses that David said in the Psalms 46. He says this, and it's been a comfort to so many people. God is our refuge. And God is our strength. God is a very present help in our time of trouble. You need that this morning, folks. In times like these, we need that message to give us the encouragement that we're trusting an almighty God. And David knew this. David hadn't been listening to this giant for 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, what that giant would say, have somebody come out and battle me. If I win, you guys will become my slave, our slaves. If you win, we'll become your slaves. That was the reason for the battle. He just wanted to be a one-on-one. They wasn't all going to fight one another. Just somebody needed to come out, this giant. And I got to tell you, he's a big giant. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it tells us the Philistines had a champion fighter named Goliath. He was from Gath. That's where the giants live. Now listen, he was 9 feet 4 inches tall. Now I got to tell you, 9 feet 4 inches tall is a big fella. You know, I was born in Seville, Ohio. My dad lived in Seville, Ohio the last part of his life. And we would go there to see him. And in Seville, Ohio, there was a giant family. And the dad was about 9 feet tall. Matter of fact, in a little cemetery in Seville, Ohio, they have a statue the same height that he was. That's there on his place that marks his place of rest. This guy is big, folks. He came out to the Philistine camp and he had on a bronze helmet in his head. He wore a coat of scale armor. It was made of bronze and weighed about 125 pounds. His coat weighed 125 pounds. He wore some bronze protectors on his legs. He had a small spear of bronze tied on his back. The wooden part of his large spear was like a weaver's rod. And the blade on his spear weighed 15 pounds. The officer who carried his shield walked in front of him. The size of this giant is something that brought a whole lot of fear to all of the people of Israel, especially when he's saying, come out and fight me. If you win, we'll be your slaves. If I win, you will be our slaves. Wasn't asking for a whole bunch of them to come against him. And you know, I believe one of the things as David was there that I've liked about this story is I believe David was thinking, man, he's so big. You couldn't miss him. You couldn't miss him. He's so huge. Why don't they want to go out and fight him? David looked at the giant and the army of Israel and King Saul, and all of them were just terribly afraid of what was going on and what was going to happen. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But David said, I'm coming to you. When it was decided he was going to fight this giant, he said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, of the armies of Israel. He said, I'm going to strike you down. And of course, Goliath didn't like that. This little kid coming out against him. He had all kinds of things to say about that. But this is what I want us to learn for a lesson from this, is a realization that God promises to give us victory over things in our life that's causing us times of difficulty. One of the promises that I like is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, this one Jesus. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It seems like David had something in his heart that is saying to him, God can even help me to defeat that giant. His brothers didn't like it that he was saying he was going to do it. His brothers were upset with him. One of them said something like, who's taking care of them few sheep that you take care of? We're in this army. We're doing things that is pretty important. You're just taking care of dad's sheep. You know what? That didn't hinder David a bit. We need to realize that God is trying to tell us something. If you want to defeat the giants in your life and defeat the giants in my life, that we need to do some of the trusting that David was doing in who God was and what God could do and what he could bring about in the lives of those people. Well, I got to tell you something that's kind of humorous in a way that happened. King Saul is told that David, he thinks he can fight that giant. Well, he's just a little boy, and so David, he's summoned to come to King Saul. So Saul clothed David with his armor. Now, he's just a little guy. He's just a teenager. And Saul was a big man. He was a tall man. And he put on all the armor that he had. He was putting it on David. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk. But he couldn't walk. He had never tested his armor before. David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these things on. Besides that, I've never tested them. I don't know about them. So David took off the armor of King Saul. And he went down by a little brook that was there, and he gathered 5 smooth stones. 5 because one of the studies I was looking at said that Goliath had 4 brothers. He puts them in his little shepherd's pouch. He's got his sling in his hand, and he's ready to go battle the Philistine. The lesson I want us to learn from this is we need to realize we have to fight the battle in the armor that God gives us. We can't fight it in our own armor. You can't put up with the things that's happening in your life and my life just in our own strength. And we can't have the strength of our mom and dad or the strength of somebody else. We need to have the strength of the Lord in each one of our lives in order to be able to do what God wants us to do. You know, I just think I want to take a little break right now because I really like the way this story starts out as David got ready to go meet the Philistine giant and how the giant just kind of picks on him a little bit. But then I want us to see what David did, which is a good lesson for each one of us. But before we do, let's listen to a song. The song is reminding us that the battle belongs to the Lord. That's what David knew. David understood that. David knew that he wasn't going out in his own strength. You and I, dear people, we cannot do it in our own strength. We can't face the difficulties of COVID-19 in our own strength. We can't even face the difficulties of growing old in our own strength. We need to know that God cares. And God says, I'm going to help you with it. And whatever going on in your life, whatever giants you're facing this morning, God's going to say to you as he says to me, I'm able to help you with that. So let's listen to this song, and I'll give my voice a little rest and have a sip of pop here, and I'll be right back to share with you. God bless you as we think about the Lord and the power and strength belonging to the Lord. We need to understand and believe with all of our heart that God is saying through David to each one of us today, the battle belongs to the Lord. You don't have to fight these things alone. We have somebody that is on our side, somebody that is a very present strength in our time of weakness. And David is ready to go face the giant. I've got to tell you something. It's an interesting thing that I like. Kind of a sense of humor. Is that David got his five little stones. He's got one ready for his slingshot. He's got four in his little pouch. And he starts towards the giant. And the giant comes towards him. This huge individual. He's coming towards him with all of his armor that he has on. And as he started to take a couple, two or three steps towards David, I love it that it says, David ran towards him. David ran towards. Can you imagine how that bothered that giant? He took a couple big steps towards David, and David just came running right towards him. I got to tell you, folks, the lesson I want to learn from David is you got to face these things head on. David wasn't timid of what he was going to do. he was there to face it head on. And so he takes his slingshot. And now I got to tell you, all the time he'd been working with the shepherd, as a shepherd, he'd been practicing many times. And he got really good at that slingshot. And it was that kind of a slingshot that they had in those days. They'd whirl around in a circle above their head. And he gave it a whirl, and all of a sudden that stone took off. And it hit the giant right in the center of the forehead. And the giant went tumbling down. Have you ever heard the saying, the bigger you are, the greater they fall? The harder they fall. That's exactly what happened. The giant was laying on the ground, and David didn't even have a sword, but he ran up and took the sword of the giant, and he removed his head. The giant was dead. Goliath tried to scare off David. But David, he tried to make fun of David. You're just a little brat, so to speak. And yet he was conquered. Because the battle belonged to the Lord. And God had been using the Lord. And he let, God had been using David to practice all the times that he was caring for the sheep. And one of the things that David said, which is such a good thing, I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have insulted. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down. And then he let the stone fly. And you've got to understand, dear people, that was God's divine guidance. It was God's will for that giant to be destroyed. Who had insulted, he even kind of poked fun of the God of Israel. And he kind of almost asking his gods that he had to come down and destroy the God of Israel. And David stood for the Lord. And that victory was a tremendous victory. I got to tell you something, folks, that I think is good about this that I wanted to make sure we didn't leave it off. The giant is now laying on the ground. He is dead. The whole situation has changed. Remember, he said, if you're able to kill me, we will be your slaves. But if I'm able to kill your man that you send, you will become our slaves. But soon as the Philistines seen that their giant was laying on the ground, they took off. They wasn't going to be slaves of Israel. They took off. They didn't hold up to their part of the bargain. And the army pursues the Philistine army and destroys that army. I got to know, the next thing that's been, something is tenderly beast. Giants defeated, the Philistine Israel was defeated. After the story ended when King Saul asked, whose son are you, young man? The son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem, David answered. There's one more blessing that was added to David's life, that he was going to be special in the days, David's life and years to come. The fellowship that David had with Saul. And Saul had a son named Jonathan. And a blessing was upon Jonathan to become the best friend of David. And that's pretty special. All of that is something that was added besides what they had gone through. And now I want to show you what happened with this, because, you know, it's not mentioned a whole lot of times in the Bible, this killing of this giant. David finished talking to Saul. After that, Jonathan came, David's closest friend. Jonathan loved David as much as he loved himself. From that day on, Saul kept David at his servant and didn't let him go back to his family. So Jonathan made a pledge of mutual loyalty to David because he loved him so much as he loved himself. Jonathan took off his coat and he gave it to David, along with a battle tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. David was successful from that time on with anything that Saul asked him to do. David was successful, and the people were celebrating They were celebrating that the giant had been destroyed at that period of time. And now they've been delivered from that period of life and all the fear that was with it. You know, folks, we have one that's helped us. One that's been a blessing to us. His name is Jesus. He's the one that wants to help us defeat the giants of our life. I like the comparison of David doing the destruction of defeating the giant, of Jesus coming into our world and defeating sin. David won a great victory, but not as great as the victory Jesus won. Both David and Jesus represent the people of God. Both David and Jesus fought a battle, and it rightfully belonged to God's people when a battle was being fought. But David and Jesus both fought their enemy right up to the very end. Both David and Jesus were sent to the battlefield by their father. Jesse, David's dad, had sent David to the battlefield. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus' father, sent him to the battlefield. Both David and Jesus fought the battle without human strategy, just doing what God wanted them to do. And they won the battle. And now there can be victory in your life. There can be victory in my life because Jesus Christ has defeated the giant of sin. Jesus Christ has defeated the giant of death. I love the way it's put in the book of 2 Timothy, verses 8 to 10. It goes this way. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his servant. I share in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Now listen to what he says. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to the works, but not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time even began. Jesus was going to pay this price to give us the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's on the scene. And just like David came running to beat the Philistine giant, Jesus also went head on to face the enemy of sin and death. Now listen to what it says. Who has abolished death and brought life, immortality to light through the gospel. God gives us hope because of Jesus and how he's won the battle. When Jesus said, "It is finished," upon that cross, he had done the work that God the Father had given him to do. And you know, you and I need to know that one of the giants we face is this idea of sin. The sin in your life and the sin in my life. I like the way one of the songs put it. It says, we have a debt that we couldn't pay. We have no way we could pay the debt for our sin. But Jesus paid the debt that he didn't owe. He was just willing to do that for each one of us. I just want to give you a couple of Bible verses that I've always enjoyed to have us realize. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. We all have missed the mark. I think of sin and the things that we talk about and that, not just all naughty, bad things. Do you know the Bible says, "For him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." And I like to think of using a bow and arrow. and you got your target set up, and you pull the bow back and let the arrow fly, and we don't hit the bullseye. In biblical times, they would say, I sinned. I missed it. I sinned. I was aiming for the bullseye, but I missed it. And you and I can be aiming for the bullseye, but so often we've missed it. And we've sinned. All of us have sinned. And then in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. And Romans 6:23, the wages or the paycheck of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God's reminding us that we're all going to die. Death entered the world because of sin, because of disobedience of Adam and Eve. And we've all done sin. We're not just paying for the sin that they did. We've all done sin. And now he tells us, but God's gift that he's given to each one of us is the gift of eternal life. I love it, and I'm so thankful that according to God's purpose, according to God's grace, he's given us this forgiveness of sin. It isn't anything I earned or can earn, but of what Jesus did upon that cross as he faced this thing called death. And him who knew no sin was willing to become sin for us. And I love what he says. He's abolished death and he's brought now new life. This thing called life, or this eternal life that is for you and that is for me. Before I close, I thought I ought to share with you one of the most beautiful portions of scripture that I really like, that David, that giant killer, wrote. Psalm number 23. Psalm number 23 was written by David. And you know something in Psalm number 23? There's only 6 verses. But in that psalm, there's 17 personal pronouns where you can claim it for yourself. I remember one time reading that there was a poet who was noted for his ability to write poetry and to recite poetry. One day he was having a big seminar, and there was hundreds of people to it. And somebody asked him, can you quote the 23rd Psalm? It was an evening service time. And he did, and he did a beautiful job of quoting the 23rd Psalm. Then I love it that their poet said, you know, I invited one of my best friends to come to me with me tonight. He's a pastor and he's in his 90s. I want him to come and quote for you the 23rd Psalm. The old pastor made his way up there and then he did this as he read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He put emphasis on all 17 pronouns that he had claimed the shepherd for himself. I got to say this as we close. We need to understand, folks, when the poet recited the 23rd Psalm, the people applauded. But when the old pastor recited the 23rd Psalm, the people wept. A reporter came to the poet and said, what's the difference between when you did it and he did it? And I love the answer. And I hope it's your answer today. The poet said to the news reporter, I know the 23rd Psalm, but my old pastor friend, he knows the shepherd of whom the 23rd Psalm is talking about. We need to know the shepherd. I believe David knew the shepherd. And I believe that gave David victory because he knew the shepherd. In this closing song, we're reminding ourselves of what God's done for each and every one of us. And I want to thank you for letting me share with you. And God's richest blessing be upon you and yours.
Was a hand.